Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 320, Draw Near, Part 1. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, June 4th, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Buenos dias. How's everyone doing? Muy bueno. Okay, very good. Muy bueno. Maybe I'll throw in some Spanish words throughout our message today. You good with that? All right, just to keep us awake and stuff. Praise the Lord. God is good. Wasn't the tent meeting fun? Yes. Did you have fun while you were serving? Did you receive something from the Lord also? Praise the Lord. I did too. It was good. It's good to see hungry people too coming, isn't it? Praise God. Praise God. Okay, let's just jump right in. Today, the message is a two-part series. I like series because when I, you know, I think like, oh yeah, I'll preach on this subject and I start into it, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as I'm looking through the word and it just expands. So, you know, one simple message could turn into three easily, but this will be two parts. And if I need to extend more, we'll make room for that. Praise God. But this is called Draw Near. And this is all about, my heart really for this message is just about the importance of our relationship with the Lord, the importance of intimacy. And both Sister Krista talked about that in the transition message. Aaliyah just talked about that. What he did for us because of his love for us. And he wants an intimate relationship with us. You know, this message today, the part one, is kind of how can I draw near and by what means can I draw near to the creator of the universe, the one who, you know, created the Milky Way galaxy and created the planets and all these things. He wants to have a relationship with me. Like, he wants me to talk to him and be real to him? Well, yes, but how? Right? Because we know that our sin separates us from God, right? All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Is that Romans 3:23? I didn't write that down, but it's on our, that's the yellow, right? That's the yellow on the wristband, the Revive, Time to Revive tools that we use. We all fall short of the glory of God. And because of the, you know, we go to the black color, because of our sin, the wages of sin, or osea, there's some Spanish, osea is like, in other words, the wages of our sin is the consequence of our sin, the result of, and what we deserve because of our sin is death. Right? Not that I'm going to drop dead right now if I have like a complaining thought or something, but that it's a spiritual death. It's separating me from God, right? And that's a problem because he made us for relationship, right? So how is it that I can draw near? And so this message is kind of the part one, like what the word says about the Lord made us worthy to be able to draw near in relationship with him. It's all about Jesus, guys. It's all about his blood. Woo! Praise the Lord. So Hebrews 10 is really where we're going to camp out for both of these messages, with some other scriptures in there as well. But Hebrews 10 talks about the importance of Christ's sacrifice, that he did it one time for all and forever. Amen. It was enough and it was sufficient. Christ's death on the cross of Calvary was enough, one time for all, to take care of our sin problem that we had that separated us from God. So Hebrews 10, it talks about, and it, you can see in there, it contrasts the old covenant that you read about in the Old Testament, where religious duties and sacrifices had to be performed, had to be offered in such a specific way, in order to make atonement or make that redemption for those, for the people's sins, right? And how that actually never really took care of the problem. That never took away sin. And there was so much preparation and requirement, and only the high priest could do that. He would repent for his own sins, prepare sacrifices and rituals once a year, and also repent and make atonement, if you will, for the sins of the people. But with the new covenant, and you can see this contrast just when you read through Hebrews 10, with the new covenant where Jesus' blood made a way for us, Jesus' blood made a way for us to have our sins atoned for and to have redemption of our sin, and therefore to be able to draw near to God, the Father, to be able to approach the throne and have that access to him that the people in the Old Testament didn't have. They had the intermediary. They had to go through the high priest, right? So let's dig in here at Hebrews 10. That's just a little background, a little intro. But Hebrews 10, starting at verse 10 through like 18, we'll read. It says, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. So even what they were doing, the attempt, it didn't do the job. It didn't take care. That's what it says, right? Verse 11 there. It didn't take away the sin. The people still had a sin problem that was separating them from God. Verse 12, "But our high priest," that's Jesus, "our high priest," see how it's capitalized? "High priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time." It's like the best blue light special ever. Good for all time. This lasts forever. Praise the Lord. "Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand." Let's make that red light special because, you know, the blood of Jesus, right? Holy Spirit said, actually, it's the red light special. Okay, so let's read that again. "But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever," everybody say forever,
"forever,
forever made perfect those who are being made holy." That's you and I today, right? We're being made holy. We're being perfected. We're being transformed into the image of Jesus. Are we always perfect every day? No, that's why we need Jesus, right? Verse 15, "And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, 'This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds.' Then he says, 'I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds.'" "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." If you struggle with shame and condemnation, get that verse in your heart, hallelujah, and repeat that to yourself when the devil tries to come and kick you and punch you and push you with, "Well, you did that and you messed up." "I will never again," the Lord says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." We go back to Jesus and we ask the Lord and we ask forgiveness when we mess up. And that's how, through his blood, that he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. Wow. So Jesus took the place of the ritual sacrifices that the high priest had to do. And in doing so, he took care of our sin. Hallelujah. Why? So that we could approach him, because he loves us and he wants relationship with us. He wants to be close to you. He wants to relate to you. And the sin was like the big elephant in the room that didn't allow him to get close, because he's perfect and he's holy. He's set apart. And that sin was like, you know, the big elephant in between me and Jesus. I can't get to him because my sin is blocking, right? And so Jesus, or really the Father, me and the Father, the big elephant is the sin. So Jesus was the high priest, the intermediary that took care of that. Is this making sense? You're tracking? Okay. So Jesus, we call him the high priest, like it says in verse 12 that we just read, because the high priest was the one that used to present the blood of the sin offering and the sacrificial animal to remove the sins, his own sins and the sins of the people, right? So Jesus was our sacrifice, and it removes, and he removes our sin through his blood. So yeah, let's kick out shame and condemnation out of our hearts, out of our minds, out of our lives with this truth, with this kind, these kinds of passages in Hebrews 10. Let's get revelation in our hearts that condemnation is therefore does not belong to those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? That comes from the enemy, the father of lies, who's trying to condemn you and cause you shame and try to keep you silent about things. No, we bring it out to the light and we say we need Jesus and we're not perfect. And when I do mess up, I run to the throne of grace and I say, forgive me, Lord. I know that the blood of Jesus saves me. It redeems me. I've been forgiven and I've been set free from condemnation. Praise the Lord. So we don't have to be on this, like, I used to feel like, I remember when I was first saved, this was the first really big, like, I don't know, call it a stronghold or a lie that I remember being confronted with when I read the word, that was like, I just, like this works thing of like, I have to perform, I have to measure up, I have to win somebody's, God's or people's affirmation and praise. And I remember my pastor in Arizona, Pastor Jenny, you know, Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that was like, oh, freedom. Like, wait, what? What do you mean? Like, I don't have to beat myself up because I didn't measure up or I didn't perform. No, the blood of Jesus takes care of that. I was like, this is the best thing ever. She's like, yeah, get it in your heart for real. Yes. Praise the Lord. Because all of that, we can draw near to God. Draw near to God through his blood. It's through faith that we can draw near and have relationship with him, because it's, you know, I can't see him physically, but it's through faith. All right, our key passage today is just beyond that, Hebrews 10:19-22. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. How do we enter? Boldly. Where are we entering? Heaven's most holy place, the heart of God. We can enter there? Why? By what means? Through, or because of the blood of Jesus, it says. Wow. By his death, Jesus opened a new and a life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into, like directly, straight into, do not pass go, go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with God, with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let that just bring peace to your heart today. that you have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And you can go directly to the throne, it says, right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, being genuine, fully trusting him, right? He opened the life-giving way. He opened the life-giving way through the curtain. What curtain? We'll talk about that in a second. Wait, what curtain? Shower curtain? No, different curtain. We'll talk about it. So that verse 21 says, let us go, right? Since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house. Verse 22. Let us go. Let us go. Let us draw near. Let's run to his presence. Let's run to intimacy with him, right into the presence of God. We don't have to wait. Oh, but where's my high priest? Where's the intermediary? You know, well, it's Jesus now that we're in the new covenant. New covenant. There's no ritual sacrifice and all this preparation that needs to happen. You just prepare your heart. And that's simple. Just being sincere, that it says, have a sincere, genuine heart. You can take the mask off with him. You don't have to pretend to be anybody with the Lord Jesus. You can be yourself. You can be real. You can be vulnerable because he is trustworthy for you to do that. And he's the way maker. He made a way, a life-giving way. He came to give you life and life abundantly, a life-giving way. Because of that big sin problem, that was a big problem. That was a big elephant. That was a big obstacle that separated us from the heart of God. But he's the way maker. Jesus is the way maker. Okay, we're going to back it up a little to Hebrews 9, 1 through 10. And this talks a little bit, this gives the description of the curtain. If you're wondering, what's this curtain? Or in some versions it says the veil. Okay, what is all this about? All right, let's read. Hebrews 9, 1 through 10. The first covenant between God and Israel had regulations, rules, religion. Right? Regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. There were two rooms in that tabernacle. In the first room were a lampstand, a table, and sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called the holy place. Can you get a picture of this in your head as I read this? There was a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room called the most holy place. In that room were a gold incense altar and a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered with gold on all sides. Inside the ark were a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff that sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover. Cherubims, angels, right? Wings that stretched out over the covering of this chest, the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 5. Is that where I am? Yes. Above the ark where the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover, the place of atonement. But we cannot explain these things in detail now. Verse 6, when these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place. And only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people that had committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open. There wasn't free open access. It was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. This is all in the Old Testament. This is in the Old Covenant before Jesus. This is how it was. This is an illustration pointing to the present time. For the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciousness of the people who bring them. Then what good were they? For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. The better system could be established. That's Jesus. He's the better system. So this is describing here, this whole section, the veil or the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies. It separated the earthly dwelling place of God's presence from the rest of the temple where men were, where the men dwelt. This signified that separation that we talked about because of sin. It signified the separation between man and God. Prior to Jesus dying on the cross, the high priest would have to perform and perfect himself, as we said, to go into the presence of God once a year for all of Israel to make atonement for their sins. And you can read about that in Leviticus 16. If you're taking notes, you can just write that and check that out more in detail later. So when the high priest went in, I believe they tied, right, a rope or chain or something around his ankle in case they wouldn't withstand the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, and he died in there. Bells. Yes, and they had bells, right, so they could still hear that he was alive if they heard, you know, if he was moving around. Otherwise, if they didn't, they would pull him out. Dead man, didn't survive. Wow. So if he made it out alive, can you imagine if, you know, that high priest was here, made it out alive, and we're all here, and we're like, you were just in the presence of God? Like, tell us. Like, what was it like? Like, we couldn't experience that. Only the high priest, the head honcho guy, right? And so, have you ever heard a story that somebody else tells you, but it's not your own experience? Like, you're living off of the crumbs of my experience, but you don't get to experience all of it for yourself. And so there's a barrier there, right? It's like if I go to, well, Israel, like Pastor Harley, right? Showing in the video, I forget the name of the place that he said. He said it was on the way to Iliad. It's mitzvah, something like that. And so, you know, that kind of reminded me how it looked like of the Grand Canyon, or if you ever saw the Grand Canyon. So he was there, and he had that experience, like the five senses and beyond with the Holy Spirit. You know, what did it smell like there? What could he touch there? What could he hear there? What did he experience? What did the Holy Spirit speak to him there? How did he have intimacy with God in that place? And he, you know, he showed us a video, or he'd come back and tell us about it. But it's different than us going there to that place, or to the Grand Canyon, or a wonder of the world, or, you know, meeting a person, you know, whatever experience. It's different when you have your own first direct experience, direct contact. When this high priest came out of the presence of God, like, maybe he couldn't even speak for a while, you know, and they're all like, we're waiting, tell us, we're dying over here, like, we need to hear, what was it like, what was it, you know, tell us, like, feed us, you know, feed us these little crumbs. And that's all they had. That was only their access to the presence of God. And the rituals and the sacrifices didn't even account for their sin. So they were still weighted down by their sin, poor ones. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Yes. Wow. Praise the Lord. He made that clear and full way for us to approach him, to approach the Father, to get into the Father's lap, to climb up into Abba Daddy's lap and have intimacy. We don't have to wait for Pastor Harley or anybody else to spoon feed to us the word. We can open up the word and we can commune with the heart of God ourselves. No high priest. I mean, Jesus is our high priest. Praise the Lord. Do you know in Matthew 27, it talks about the curtain, that curtain that we just read about in Hebrews 9 that separates, you know, the holy place from the holy of holies. It talks about how when Jesus died, that curtain was torn in two. So Matthew 27, verse 51, it says, at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. It tore. So we said before that that curtain represented the separation between us and God, right? Between men and women and God. So when Jesus came to open the living way to us through his sacrifice of blood on the cross, what happened to that curtain that was the separation? That wasn't needed anymore. That wasn't needed. That separation was gone. We can run into the Holy of Holies now ourselves and commune with him and feel his heartbeat and hear his voice and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you made a way for me. You opened the living way for me to get to the heart of the Father and to know him intimately. Because guess what? I need the heart of a loving father in my life to lead me, to guide me, no matter what my experience with my earthly father is. Maybe I had a bad one. Maybe I didn't. You know, maybe any of you did or didn't. Regardless, even if I had the best father, earthly father, I still need a loving heavenly father that leads me, that directs me, that says, you're loved and blessed and highly favored, that says, I have a plan and purpose for your life, that says, come to me and drink because I want to help you. I want to guide you. I want to lead you. So that curtain was ripped. And what else happened? It says there in Matthew 27, it says, the earth shook, like the old systems shaking. If we had a I won't do it because I don't drop everything. But has anyone ever experienced a temblor? Okay, another Spanish word because I can't think of it. A shaking, earthquake, or what's the other word? Tremor is the word. Temblor. Okay, that's the word in Spanish. Spanish lesson. Has anyone experienced that? Okay, it is a little wild. I don't know like to what degree you experienced it, but I was in the country of Chile in 2010 when they had a really severe earthquake. I don't know on the Richter scale at the epicenter what it was exactly, maybe 6.5. I'd have to go look that up. But it was a lot. And so we went twice on trips with YWAM, took teams in there. The first trip we did was 3 weeks after the initial earthquake. So there were tremors happening all the time. And I've never experienced that before. And man, it'd shake the old stuff. It would shake anything around. And so we would always hear, we'd have our transistor radio and we would hear, because I was interested, like, you know, a shaking that would happen for like 20 seconds. And that's a long time when you're feeling everything under you shake, you know, that's a long time, or even 10 seconds. I would like, you know, what does it say? What number was that? Well, that was 2.2, or, you know, and I'm like, if that was 2.2, I can't imagine what 6.5 is. One of them, I felt like it was, like I got this picture when it was happening that there was like this old washing machine, like gone mad on spin cycle, that's just like shaking like crazy, like going out of control. Can you picture this? And like, wow. I won't go into the details of this story, the time that I was in the bathtub and there was a shaking and like, Lord Jesus, don't let this house come in on me because I'm in the bathtub right now and there's a shaking and my best friend knew that I was in there and she came up to the door and she was like, it's okay, it's going to stop, you know, it's all right. She just assured me because it was a little scary, like looking around like, where's my towel, where's my, like, yeah, but anyways, back back to Matthew 27, the earth shook, right? The old things were being done away with, the old covenant. The rocks split apart and the tombs broke open. Wow, what a moment, right? The cross did away with us having to perform, and the blood of Jesus did away with us having to perform the right rituals and the perfect sacrifices to dot our I's and cross our T's all the time, to live and to live from others' experiences with God. Done away with. The earth shook all that away. The curtain tore from the top to the bottom. No more separation. We have free access into the heart of the Father because of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Draw near. Draw near because you can. Okay, Hebrews 10, the same verse. I just want you to hear this. You can just close your eyes and just hear this in the Passion Translation because it's really beautiful. This is Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. It says, "And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and without hesitation. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. We are now clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out." It's a good time to say hallelujah. Hallelujah, that is awesome. I love that in the Passion Translation. It's beautiful. Okay, moving on, Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. It says, "So then, since we have this great high priest, Jesus, who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Come boldly to the throne of grace. We have that access now, the ability to go with confidence before the Father. Even if you've messed up, even if you've committed errors, you've done terrible things, you have, as a child of God, that access, that ability. You can go confidently to the throne and say, "Father, I messed up. And I thank you for Jesus washing me clean." And it's done. You're forgiven. So then you can move on. Sometimes we get stuck and we ask forgiveness over and over, and we're on this hamster wheel trying to measure up, and I feel bad about this, and I, "Forgive me, Lord, forgive me. Didn't I forgive you yesterday and the day before that?" Like, move on. I want to speak other things to your heart. Move on. He forgave you when you asked, right? Because of the blood of Jesus. It's by faith. We have to receive that by faith. Believe that and take that in, that he forgives you and he made a way for you to commune intimately with the Father. It's there at the throne of our gracious God, like it says, that we will receive his mercy. So mercy is forgiveness when you deserve punishment. We all need a lot of that, don't we? Yeah. We will receive his mercy at that, when we enter the throne of grace of our gracious God, this version says. And it says we will find grace. Grace, you know, the typical definition is unmerited favor. But grace can also be defined as a share, a part of God's divine nature that equips and empowers us to do something. I've been given grace to speak another language. You know, that comes from, I believe, that comes from God. He empowers me to do that, helps me and equips me to do that. So when we enter the throne of our most gracious God, it's there that we will receive his mercy, his forgiveness, when I deserve to be kicked out and have punishment. Hallelujah. And I get grace, that strength and empowerment to do what I'm called to do as a child of God. So it's because of his love for us. It's because it's all about relationship. His relationship, the loving Father to his children's hearts, to your daughter heart, to your son heart, that he gives us this access because of Jesus. You know, I think of this picture of a busy father. Picture, you know, he's in his office, maybe home office, trying to work from home during COVID time, this busy father, and he's on the phone, maybe has somebody in his office meeting with him. But yet his son or daughter, you can picture yourself as a young child maybe, comes in, maybe not even knocks, and just, you know, slips into that father's office. And the father stops for a second and sees you, his child, and is like, everything else just gets put on hold. Because it's about relationship. He says, you're my daughter. Come on, come here. I was in a conversation with somebody at the tent meeting, or we were having lunch with somebody, and their child was along, and we were having a conversation, and the child said something to his mom, and she just, I don't even think she said excuse me to me. She just turned and like answered him, and you know, and it was like, that's the heart of the father that puts the needs of their child, their children, first. And he says, like, there's no protocol with me. It's just because of relationship. So come on. You know, that busy father in his office just takes you, his son or daughter, and just puts him up on the lap and takes a break from work for a second. Because everything else can stop, because the love of the Father propels him to meet with you, to give you access, to give you, you know, you don't have to do all these crazy ritual things. And yeah, he's just good. And he wants to connect with you. I remember a time in Argentina, I don't even think, maybe I was taught this, I don't remember, it was probably the Holy Spirit that taught me to pray this way, like with this, like it talks about in Hebrews 4 about coming boldly to the throne of grace. I don't think I really understood my authority yet, but I just remember I was at this like retreat center where we had a discipleship school going on, and it was out in the country, and I was looking out for my quiet time. I walked out and there was just like this big field, and I just remember, I don't remember what I was praying about or what my need was, but I remember just like approaching him differently, like approaching the throne of grace with that confidence and that boldness of like, you're my father. I know you're my father, and I need something from you right now. Like, I need to hear your voice. And like I said, years later, I can't remember what the need was, what my question was, what it was that was burning on my heart, but it was just the approach that I remember. And I remember looking out over this field being like, I know who I am. I know I'm your child. I know you're hearing me right now. And it was like much bolder. It was almost like a commanding, like, you're going to speak and I'm not going to leave here until you speak to me, because I know you're my father and you love me. And guess what? He spoke to my heart, and I was like, well, maybe there was something about my approach pattern. I think that's, you know, and I started praying like a lot more boldly, like confidently, like that, like, you're my daddy. And you're here for me. And so here's what's on my heart right now. I need to hear you. I need your guidance. I need your direction. And when you feel that freedom in a relationship with somebody, there's freedom to just tell them more, to tell them the next thing. Okay, now I need help with this, right? And so we can approach him that way. Praise the Lord. Okay, winding down here. Just a few other related verses. Ephesians 2. Verse 13, and then we'll skip to verse 18 of that. It says, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. And then in between there, in between 13 and 18, it talks about because Christ's sacrifice on the cross, how that reconciles the Jews to the Gentiles to God through the cross, and it destroyed the barrier of separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. And then verse 18, now all of us, Jews and Gentiles, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Hallelujah. You have been brought near to him. You were once far away, but now you've been brought near. Has anyone seen, Sesame Street, Grover? Do you guys know this clip? You can put this in YouTube. I work with toddlers, so, you know, it's what I relate to. Near! Far! And he, like, goes to the back of the screen. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Go look it up on YouTube if you're like, this lady is crazy. It's really a video. It's a video. It's Sesame Street, Grover, the little blue puppet, and he's teaching the kids what near and far mean. And so I read this verse, and that's what I think. You've been brought near to the heart of God, near to Jesus, not far. That was before the cross. Far away, near. Praise God. So when you read that verse again, you'll think of that. Near, far. It's fun, right? You can go home. What did they talk about in church today? Near, not far. They'll look at you like, what church do you go to? We have fun in church. It's okay. Sesame Street church. It's all good. No, we're a Jesus-loving church. Bible preaching church. Praise the Lord. Okay, last verse, and then we'll land the plane. Ephesians 3, verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So we have several witnesses here. These different verses are saying the same thing, right? Because of Jesus, and when we put our faith in him, because of his sacrifice of blood on the cross, we can now come boldly, confidently into his presence. Hallelujah. That is an amazing thing. There's no other God that wants that personal relationship with us and invites us in, that lives, takes up residence inside of us to lead and guide and direct us, that wants that intimacy. No other God but Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's amazing. So, conclusion, no holding back. No holding yourself back from the Father who so dearly loves you, his child. Go with confidence. Go boldly. Refuge yourself in him. Hide yourself in the secret place, in intimacy. Take your mask off. Be real. Tell him what you need. Spill out your heart. Share yourself with him. I mean, he knows you, but it's different when you make yourself known to him. Delight yourself in him. Depend on him. Don't hold back with the Father. He's waiting for you. He invites you, and he sent Jesus to make a way. Of all the things in this life, in this world, that exist out there that we could draw near to, choose the heart of the Father. Yes. Today and every day. Choose him. You won't regret it. Draw near to the Father God. So let's pray. Thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you that you brought us near, that we were once far away from your heart, and you took care of that sin problem by sending Jesus to die on the cross that brought us near. You opened the life-giving way so that we could have intimacy with the Father, so that we could come boldly and with confidence to your throne of grace to find mercy and grace in the time of trouble, in the time that we need it. And Father, we all need your mercy. We all need your grace, and you give us free access. We no longer have to be separated from the heart of the Father because of sin. We no longer have to go through rituals and perfect sacrifices that are, you know, just the right way, Father, but and we no longer have to live off of somebody else's, the high priest's experience. We ourselves can have direct, intimate access with you. And for that, we are grateful. Father God, I pray for a revelation of these truths, of this intimacy through the blood of Jesus over each heart that's hearing this message. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that this will sink deep and that we can refuge ourselves in you, that we can go to the next level of our intimacy with you because you made a way for it and you desire that connection with us. Thank you, Father, for taking us as we enter, taking us deeper in your presence. We love you, God. We look forward to times of hearing your voice, of reading your word, of having you speak to us, of communing with the Father. And Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We're so grateful for your blood that made a way for us. We bless your name today. And we lift up everyone listening on social media, and I ask your blessing upon them, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening them. They are more than overcomers. Thank you, Jesus. Victorious. Victorious in the obstacles and circumstances and problems facing them this week. Overcomers. Through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Help their words line up to what you speak, to what you say in your word. And bring revelation of this that we talked about today, the blood of Jesus, making us victorious, making a way for us to get to the Father. I thank you, Father, for stamping out sickness and disease, for strengthening bodies, for lifting them up off the sick bed in Jesus' name. I pray for an end to tormenting thoughts in the name of Jesus. I pray for shalom peace, where nothing is missing, nothing is broken, over hearts and bodies and minds today in the name of Jesus. You came to set the captives free. And we thank you for setting captives free today in every way in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. We bless your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.